An aging stock of low-income housing in Bloomington Normal is causing tension between tenants and landlords. Twin City landlords are cited more than 3,000 times a year for housing code violations. Because of their age, many of the rental units are in a chronic state of disrepair. Compounding the problem is that Bloomington and Normal each have only two housing inspectors to oversee more than 20,000 rental units. And there is little pressure on landlords to change. A 2015 League of Women Voters study found a more than 300% increase in the number of people seeking subsidized housing in the last 15 years. GLT's Judy Valente starts an investigative series today, Landlord v. Tenant, chronicling the odyssey of one mother trying to find quality, affordable housing for her family.
On the day Candace Gales moved into her apartment at 610 South Linden in Normal, she says she sat down on her front step and wept.
All you could do was cry. It's like, I can't bring my kids into this place. You know, there was blood splatters on the wall. The stove was years of grease just caked on. I had to take a gum scraper. I don't know what the painters usually use it. And scrape the grease like off of the stove. There was dust everywhere. You literally needed a hazmat suit to come in here.
Gail says she called her landlord, who had assured her the apartment would be cleaned by the time she and her four children moved in.
When I called the landlord and told him, I said, you know, I thought the cleaners were going to come in and clean and get everything ready for me. It's like, well, you know, I thought I was doing you a favor by letting you move in. You know, you explained you needed a place to stay, and this is the thanks that I get. And I'm like, I wouldn't let a stray dog live in these conditions, be in this apartment like this.
Gales's landlord, Bernard Dotson, declined repeated requests for an interview. He owns several low-income housing units. He's one of about 200 landlords countywide who participate in the federal Section 8 housing program. That program guarantees landlords payment of a portion of the rent they charge their tenants.
When we did move in, we got ate up by spiders. He ended up calling the pesticide people out. I mean, it was just disgusting.
Gales' story is familiar among tenants who must compete for a shrinking number of affordable units. A GLT review of Bloomington and Normal rental housing inspection reports shows many landlords who rent to low-income tenants keep properties in constant disrepair. Greg Trummel, Normal's chief housing inspector, says multi-unit rental properties must be inspected at least once a year. But with two inspectors to monitor nearly 9,000 units, it's a struggle.
There's a fairly in-depth list of things that we're looking for, but at the same time, it's probably a 5 or 6 minute inspection inside and outside the building. We're not operating every window, swinging every door. It's pretty much a visual inspection, and if, you know, we see obvious things.
Inspection reports obtained by GLT Radio through the Freedom of Information Act show Dotson was cited for numerous violations in the last 3 years, including leaking plumbing fixtures, inoperable smoke alarms, and missing windows in his units. Gales' monthly rent is $750, and she pays her own utilities.
Why do I deserve to be treated like this? Because I'm low income, because I have Section 8? Is that, you know, what it is? I like a clean house. I like pictures on the walls. This is already not to my standards, but I needed a place to stay.
Gales had difficulty with her previous landlord as well. She says her previous landlord refused to return the $995 security deposit. She was working at a part-time marketing position at the time, and the security deposit was money she was counting on to help her find a new home in Tennessee, where she planned to move after being offered a full-time job there. Emily Petrie, an attorney for Prairie State Legal Services, said she contacted Gales' landlord, Andrew Hollins, seeking to resolve the dispute over the deposit.
They were just really angry that she had moved out because they said she didn't properly give notice. And then asking for the rest and damages that really she didn't do. There were a few, you know, normal wear and tear things.
The landlord also reported Gales to the housing authority, claiming she owed him money. A complaint like that from a landlord could cause the tenant to lose eligibility for Section 8 help. Petrie says the landlord agreed to rescind his complaint if Gales agreed to give up any claim to the security deposit.
And our client wanted to accept that because she was ready to move on.
Hollins, the landlord, refused to speak on tape to GLT News. He said in a brief telephone interview he considered the matter resolved. The effect on Gales' life was significant. She did not move to Tennessee. She lost the job offer at a plasma company there. She and her children bounced around from place to place.
without that security deposit, I was unable to move. So I end up living with my sister, who also has four kids of her own. So it's me, my four kids, my sister and her four kids, all in this one 3-bedroom apartment that she has.
When Gills found her current 2-bedroom apartment at 610 South Linden, she says she felt she had to take it. Her life reflects the hardscrabble existence of many women. She became pregnant in her senior year in high school, then married her child's father. They had 3 more children. She says her former husband physically abused her and eventually went to jail. Gills obtained her GED and completed an associate's degree in psychology, which she followed by earning a second associate's degree in business.
And from then on, it was just like all about progress, giving my kids a healthy life from what they were used to seeing, being in that domestic situation.
Gills now works part-time as a cashier at a supermarket. The apartment she rents is part of a multi-unit building. Approaching her doorway, the first thing you notice is a missing storm door window. Inside, Gills points out ill-fitting plexiglass windows. To keep out the hot air this summer, she says she's had to constantly run her air conditioning.
My bill was $547 that I had to pay. I've been running my electricity like crazy to keep it cool, at least cool in the house. By the windows not being properly insulated and the doors not being properly insulated, I can't keep up.
Gill says she had to choose between paying the electric company and keeping current on her rent, which she is required to do to remain eligible for Section 8. When she didn't pay the utility bill, the power company turned off her electricity. Nor are those the only problems at her apartment. The tub leaks. The lights don't work along a stairway that leads to a below-ground bedroom. The water heater next to the bedroom flooded, leaving a visible watermark on the wall. A Town of Normal inspector earlier this year cited the water heater problem.
Our inspection revealed probably 4 or 5 what I would call fairly ordinary or routine code violations that needed to be addressed.
Trummel, Normal's chief of inspections, says the landlord addressed the flooding by fixing a valve in the water heater. But other issues Gales cited did not appear on that April inspection report, including a safety concern. The screen in the sole window of the basement bedroom where her son sleeps was screwed shut.
So if there was ever in a fire, he wouldn't be able to get out unless he had a drill sitting right there by the window to take the thing out.
Gail says she complained to her landlord, and she says she also called an inspector at the Bloomington Housing Authority. The Housing Authority oversees Section 8 units in both Bloomington and Normal. Kim Holman Short is executive director of the Housing Authority. She says her agency inspected Gail's unit last November and identified the bathtub leak. She says the landlord caulked the area around the tub, but inspectors were not aware of the other issues Gales cited.
If we see where the landlord is unable or unwilling to bring that unit up to standard, we will terminate that contract with the landlord and give the resident the opportunity to find another unit that meets the housing standards.
Informed of Gail's concerns by GLT Radio, Trummel of the Town of Normal visited the property along with the landlord.
So at that time I did, you know, walk through the unit with her and essentially asked her to identify what she felt were shortcomings.
He found problems that the inspection last spring had apparently missed, including the windows.
You know, I did observe these basement windows. The screens themselves were screwed in to the window jamb. The window itself was operable. Those were addressed, and the screws had been removed. So, you know, from our perspective, the window situation has been addressed.
Trummel says he directed the landlord to replace a circuit that had shorted, rendering the lighting fixtures inoperable in 2 bedrooms and a hallway.
So then he did engage a licensed electrical contractor to come out, and repairs have been made on that as well.
And Trummel says the landlord will be required to replace ill-fitting plexiglass windows with new ones, and he has to get a professional plumber to deal with the leak.
Time is provided for a property owner or manager to address these concerns, and then reinspections occur. And there's no question there's been some lag in getting some of these issues resolved.
But Gales wonders why pleas to her landlord went unheeded in the first place.
I feel like we get taken advantage of a lot of the times, being low income. You don't have a voice, you know, and it hurts. It hurts bad because, yes, I'm low income, you know, I'm a struggling mother, but I go out every day. I work. I don't sit at home and rely on the government. I went back to school. I have a degree, and it just doesn't seem like it's doing anything for me.
Petrie of Prairie Legal Services says tenants sometimes move out rather than confront their landlord through the government bureaucracy or in court. And many times, tenants like Gail's choose to endure hardship conditions.
Quite frankly, they have no other money, no other resources. They've given the landlord whatever money that they did have to start paying for rent, and there's just no other option.
The current shortage of new rental housing and quality affordable housing gives landlords a distinct advantage. It's a situation Holman Short of the Bloomington Housing Authority says isn't likely to change anytime soon.
Our community is growing, and the number of affordable housing is not keeping up with that growth. So, yes, we can certainly assist more families, more households, but the funding is just not there to support that.
Still, she says, protecting tenants' rights remains a high priority.
I would certainly say to any participant on our program that you should not minimize your value, and you should expect the same treatment regardless of your income and whether or not you are a participant of a voucher program.
But many tenants, like Candace Gales, say it is nearly impossible for those who don't walk in their shoes to identify with the fear and struggle they experience daily. I'm Judy Valente.
Tomorrow in the GLT series, Landlord v. Tenant, how a tenant complained to a landlord and city inspectors is no guarantee of a quick fix. The story of a 13-day bathroom sewage backup and a look at tenant rights. Coming up in Landlord v. Tenant tomorrow.